Shabbat Shalom, everyone. It is now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services. It's now a privilege and honor to present the sons and daughters of Yisrael Abel now entering the sanctuary.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Wow. Well, praise Yahweh, Shabbat Shalom to everyone here and also watching us on the media. You may be seated. Okay, we're going to continue on with my gematria studies. And one of the things that the overseer has been bringing out lately and what we've actually had a great opportunity of enjoying watching during the Feast of Pentecost was the lamplight studies. Did everybody enjoy watching the children bring forth their knowledge? Wow. So what I did was I did a gematria on the lamplight studies. And I put lamplight studies in the gematria, and the number that came up for the Jewish gematria was 753. And the Greek definition means a chief constructor, that is, an architect or a master builder. Now, in the Strong's Concordance Red Letter Edition, they have a Vines dictionary that goes along with it. And the Vines definition says a rule, beginning, a principal artificer or architect is figuratively used by the apostle in 1 Corinthians 3:10 of his work in laying the foundation of the local church, as they call it, in Corinth. Now, if we could turn to 1 Corinthians 3:10, I'm going to read it over for you real quickly. And it says, 1 Corinthians 3:10. According to the mercy of Yahweh has given me as a wise chief architect, I have laid the foundation. And if you look at this picture that the overseer inspired us to have, it says Yeshua and his donkeys are the foundation. And he's referring to Yeshua the Messiah. And it says, I have laid the foundation and another builds upon it. And if we look at the picture again, and it says, Yisrael and his donkeys are the finishing. And this is talking about us. Yeshua and his donkeys are talking about the apostles, is talking about Noah, and is talking about all of the righteous women and men of old who have been his donkeys to bring forth this work. We are Yisrael's donkeys in this time period. And it goes on, it says, but let every man be careful how he builds on it. Now, if we could go back to the picture one more time. And it says, Yisrael and his donkeys are the finishing. So Yisrael is guiding his donkeys, which is us. Every single one of us who is sitting here in the sanctuary, plus everyone who is watching on any of the media outlets that are recording and showing, live streaming this sermon this morning, we are the donkeys. And we have to be careful how we build on the foundation that has been presented to us from Yeshua Messiah. Now, if you go onto 1 Corinthians 3:11, it says, for no other foundation can anyone lay that which is already laid by Yeshua Messiah. Now, to continue on with the lamplight studies, I did a book of Yisrael. I did the Yisrael Says program, and I usually save out some of the quotes that they have. And in the 18th book of Yisrael, chapter 24, verse 38, he goes on, he talks about the seven lamps. And he says, so there are seven altogether. To understand this, we've got to go back to Revelation. And keep in mind, Revelation was written in 96 AY. Again, that is out the foundation. That is the finishing that Yisrael is building upon, the foundation that Yeshua brought forth and gave him the information on. And it was immediately put into prison. He's talking about the book of Yahweh and all of the information, because the apostles were put into prison. They were executed. And in fact, that's where Yahweh had it written, in prison. So it doesn't matter whether you're here in the sanctuary or whether you're in prison or whether you're in any area of the world at this time. As long as you put your faith in Yahweh and put your trust in the teachers that he brings forth, and you study and trust in what Yahweh is bringing forth through his laws, you will have a place in the kingdom as you prove yourself worthy. Remember, we have to prove ourselves worthy. It is our choice. It is laid out before us. And he goes on to continue, and it says that it got to the translators about 1,500 years later, and then slowly got to Oklahoma, where a family was training by lamplight. Remember, the lamplight, it's the foundation, it's the architect. If you continue on, it says that you are to rehearse from the beginning. Rehearse from the beginning. That's the second number, which is for the Greek 756, which comes from 750. It's 753, comes from 756. And it says to commence in order of time, rehearse from the beginning. Again, these lamplight studies are a way for us to rehearse from the beginning and bring our children and ourselves into this quiet little circle where Yahweh is the focus. His laws and his holy words are the absolute focus. Then you build upon it and you get your children and yourself, as we saw during Pentecost. That was so joyful to watch the children. They were laughing and they were giggling and they had the answers and they were asking questions and they were reading scriptures. And it continues on, and he says that on the 10th book of Yisrael, part 2, chapter 26, 126, it says, but anyway, Oklahoma then was a place where this woman, as shown in Revelation 12, nourishes somebody, getting them ready for a work. Now, we didn't have electricity. We didn't have electrical devices of any kind, no running water, but we had a lamp and a table in Dad's and Mother's bedroom, which was also the living room, used as a living room for all the children. And we sat around this table, and the Bible would be read, King James versions. Well, I know now that Yahweh was putting certain things in my mind at that time, and that's what took over my life. And then on the 11th book of Yisrael, part 1, chapter 21, verse 45, he's speaking with his brother, and he's telling his brother that he remembered these days in my house. And he says, you couldn't possibly remember that, Jacob said to him. He was 2 years old, and he remembers his mother and father teaching him by lamplight. And with that, I turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom. Please be seated. Yahweh's peace be with you. Did y'all enjoy the feast? That's great. And as we've been told, Pentecost, we're in the last 3.5 years. So I want to start off with some questions again. What is the family business of Yahweh? Do you remember? What was that? Okay, to bring life. Yochanan 6:63. It is the spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The laws that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life everlasting. So where I'm going with this is, who wants peace in their family life? Who wants peace in their family life? Just by a show of hands. There you go. Because we know that it all of society, it contributes solely to the family lifestyle. And if we change within our family, then we can be able to change our society and in turn change the world. Psalms 119:165, great peace have they who love your laws and nothing will offend them. So I would like to talk about the lamplight. It builds a structure within our family unit. So what is a family? Does blood make a family? No. It's not blood that makes family, but it's the loyalty and faithfulness that makes a family, and the peace and the laws of Yahweh that make a family. So by incorporating the lamplights, we learn how to build our family units. And as Overseer had says continually, it's one step at a time. It's one step at a time. We also know that Yahweh is always learning. So if knowledge is power, would you believe me if I said learning is a superpower. Now, on Healthline.com and many other articles, it explains the benefits of turning off these harsh lights like an hour or two before bed, because it helps condition the mind and settle it down so that you can have a healthy sleep. Okay. So whenever we, like an hour or two before bed, and we pull out the lamplight and we get our family around it and we have this night routine, it's so beneficial to us, to our family, and it's Yahweh knows exactly what we need. So it creates the peace of mind and prepares our mind and the body for the night's rest and contributes to a healthy mind for the next day. So it just keeps going one step at a time. Now, I put in the Gematria because Overseer said in the 16th book of Yijul that he learned righteousness by lamplight. And we have three numbers. And these are from BibleHub.com. I'm going to say the definitions. So for the 464, the definition in the Greek from BibleHub.com is strive against. You know, we're striving, continually striving against our carnal mind in order to keep the laws of Yahweh. 2784 means to preach, proclaim, and publish. And like I said, Overseer said that he learned righteousness by lamplight. So Matithiah 24:14, and this message of the kingdom will be preached to all nations, and then the end will come. And we also have that prophecy written in Revelation 12:6, where Maggie Mae was, Yahweh had prepared a place for her to raise up the last day's witness. And then 36:19 is the act of building. I find this very interesting. The act of building, spiritual advancement, and edification. The act of building, right? And so we can remember the scripture in Zechariah 6:12. Speak to him and say, this is what Yahweh of hosts says. Behold, a man whose name is the branch, for he will branch out from his place and he will build the house of Yahweh. Yes, he will build the house of Yahweh. He will bear glory and he will sit on his throne. He will be a priest upon his throne and the council of peace will be between them both, him and Yahshua. One step at a time. Teaching our children, teaching ourselves by the lamplight, the righteousness. So the last thing I want to leave you with is this one step at a time, because we're continually laying on layers of righteousness on us. And this lamplight is doing just exactly that. This is Overseer from 3/15/2003. And it's the sermon titled, How the Body Functions Work. This is one of my most honored sermons.
Bizarre at a time in your heart. And then when you get that superabundance laid up, built up, you have this beautiful picture of righteousness coming forth where you can actually see that you do no harm to anyone, that you bring others to seeing this and bring them out of the curses of the world, and you could actually bring the whole universe to this knowledge right here that will actually make them free, totally free from sin. And it's one step at a time. And it's one step at a time.
Just take it one step at a time to build these wonderful little human beings to be able to teach the whole universe no more sin, no more sorrow, no more suffering, but to bring life Because great peace have they who love your laws, and nothing will offend them. If you would all please stand. Yahweh bless.
We love reading scriptures by the lamplight and learning about our Father Yahweh. We're pleased to be an okay from Abilene.
Shalom. Please be seated. Didn't that just want to make you dance? Okay, I have Love by Lamplight, and I have a gematria for Love by Lamplight. You see the 1074? 1074, I'm reminding you, is pastor's tag number. That belongs to him. It means the last generation, the first fruits. And there's also another one. I wrote Yah, or standing for Israel Abel Hawkins, Yah brought up under Lamplight. And you see the 322? That 322 belongs to the overseer too. That's his other tag number. These are numbers that the overseer was given by Yahweh before gematria was ever invented. Now let's talk a little about that Yahweh or Israel Abel Hawkins brought up under Lamplight. It goes to 1696, meaning Debar, the word of Yahweh, to speak, to teach a spokesman. And that reminds us of Revelation 10:7, where he says, the voice of the seventh Malak, when he will begin to sound. Now in the Greek, that 1700 means mine, my own. He's saying that Israel Hawkins belongs to me. It's not just the stories that the overseer talks about when he was younger. It's the love that you see that comes out from him towards what his father did for him and what his mother was to him that you can see comes out when he speaks about his parents and what they did for him. This whole message started because I saw the number 74. And I said, let me remind myself of what that means, because I needed to remind myself. So the number 674 in the Greek is a place of assembly, and it comes from 73, a place of assembly. Are we not assembled in the great house of Yahweh on the Sabbath? Yes, we are at the place of assembly. And then it goes to 71, to lead, to bring, to lead along. And the overseer is doing that for us, and he's teaching us how to do that for our children. When we sit under that lamplight with our children, we are gathering them into one little area, because you know when the lights are all turned on, you look around, you see everything, but you turn all those lights off and you have one light to focus on, and that's the light of Yahweh's laws. And the Hebrew 74, let's flip that over, means father of light, which comes from 52:16, meaning to glisten, a lamp light. So you see that 74, which was one of Pastor's numbers on that white stone, his lot number, he already had it in there that he would be bringing forth the lamplight again in these last days, meaning to shine through the idea of a gleam, of a fresh furrow to till the soil. Now we'll get back to that word gleam, but I want you to think about that, a fresh furrow to till the soil. If you do anything with planting, you know you have to get the soil ready. And once you have that furrow ready and you put that seed in and you nurture it and you see the magnificence of Yahweh where he takes that seed and he opens it up and out comes a plant, it's just an amazing thing. No one can do that but Yahweh. And this is what we do for our children. When we plant, we go under that lamplight and we plant that seed in their mind, and Yahweh opens it up, and you see your children flourish. If we don't do this, we are missing out. Now, the word gleam means to shine brightly, especially with reflected light. Not direct light, but reflected light. Can I have that next gematria, please? Yahweh's reflected by Israel. And you see that 3042, that word in the Hebrew means praised of Yahweh. In Deuteronomy 18:18, that in the second number reminds us that it is Israel Hawkins that Yahweh has raised up in these last days as a prophet, that he would put his words in his mouth. But the great thing about Israel Hawkins, he doesn't keep it to himself. He's taught us how to speak his words. He's given us the books of Israel. So that if you're not quite sure what to say to your children under that lamplight, then just take out a book of Israel and say the words of our overseer, because these are the words that Yahweh put in his mouth. And also in the Greek, that 303 means 1 cent. The next gematria is lamplighting with Book of Yahweh. And you see there's pastor's tag number again, 322, belonging to the overseer from Yahweh. But that number 2818 means readiness, necessary. And it goes to 2363, and I know the overseer is going to like this one. It means to hurry. You know, he always tells us to hurry. But it means you're to hurry, eager with excitement or enjoyment, to make haste and to make ready. So when you're getting your lamplight set up and you light it, make it a pleasurable thing for your children, that they will want to hurry and come to that lamplight with you, and they will want to see what Yahweh is showing us in these last days. And it also means from 28:18, getting by apportionment an inheritor. And that brought me to Psalm 16, verse 5, where it says, Yahweh is our portion, our inheritance. It also means a lot, or obtaining Yahweh's direction. When you're under that lamplight, you're getting the direction that you need from Yahweh to teach your children, so they won't have to suffer the things that Yahweh drew us out of. You will give them that direction, but we must make that effort. And to go with that, Psalm 16, verse 5, you, Yahweh, maintain our lot. You, Father, maintain everything that we need. And it also means from 35:51, the food, the words, the laws of Yahweh. And we know that that food is the every word of Yahweh. Now, I wanted to give you a little bit more about gleaming, but my time is up. And I truly enjoy talking about the lamplight. Our children are important. Let's make it a great Sabbath and a great life for our children. I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
We're pleased to be an okay from Abilene, a place where Yahweh's house teaches true peace. With our great high priest Yeshua, we are
seated. So, how many of you like riddles? They do riddles in scripture, right? How many of you like riddles? Okay, what do ships, bugs, and righteous people have in common? Ships, bugs, and righteous people. Well, ships are drawn to a lighthouse, bugs are drawn to the light, and righteous people are also drawn to Yahweh's laws, which are the light in these last days. Okay? So I'm sure you all got that riddle. You already knew it before I gave you the answer, right? So I'd like to get into the first gematria, which is, so we take our seat and settle in around the lamplight and begin to hear words, oh so sweet. Please write down these numbers, 856, 5618, and 5136. We're going to break them down. The first one is 856, and in the Strong's Greek Dictionary, it means from a compound of 575 and 1476. A place of sitting, a part that is privy. That is a privy. That means private, drawing apart, setting apart. And Yahweh is drawing us apart from this world at this time. Is he not? Yes. So it comes from 575, which means off, that is away from something near, usually denotes separation from this world, departure, cessation, completion, and reversal. And that's exactly what we're doing in this time period. We're coming out of the world, we're actually completing this plan, and we are reversing the cycle of sin, are we not? The other word that it came from was word number 1476 in the Greek, and it means immovable, settled, and steadfast. I want you to really focus on this one. Immovable, settled, and steadfast. The synonyms of settled are to be firmly established. Remember what Pastor's been bringing out about the word established? So that came from Merriam-Webster's.com. Firmly established over time. And the last number there that we're going to cover for that gematria is Greek word number 5618, and it means just as, that is exactly like. And what are we becoming? No, who are we becoming exactly like? Write down Matithia 5:48. We're becoming perfect, just as our Father in heaven is perfect. Now, quickly for the next gematria. As Mother reads the scriptures to us every night, it brings such joy to learn Yahweh's laws by the lamplight. Word numbers came up were 1121, 8345, and 6726. And I'm not able to cover all of them today because of time's sake, but I really wanted to hit the great ones. The first one in the Hebrew, number 1121, is from 1129, which means a son as a builder of the family name. And we heard that from a previous speaker already. One appointed. Who's that in these last days? Our pastor. A branch. A branch. Do you see that? Very fruitful. Word number 6726 means as a permanent capital. It's actually the word Zion. Zion, the mountain of Yahweh, right? The mountain of Yahweh. Remember, Zion means the people of Yahweh. It comes from 6725, which means conspicuousness, a monumental or guiding pillar. Remember that guiding light that guides the ships? A guiding pillar. The pillar and ground of the... Right. Now, the next gematria. All of us listening carefully to every word that Mother said. And now I realize, numbers came up were 785, 6066, and 4710. Word number 785 in the Greek, it says, corresponding to 784, a flame. A flame. Remember, we're doing the lamplight song, a flame. Remember, Yahweh says, is not my word like fire? Remember that scripture? And in Timothy it says to actually fan the flame of the gift of Yahweh that's in you by the laying on of the hands of the priests, right? So it was 785, so I don't know what inspired me, but I put in Psalm 78, verse 5, because 785. And the scripture reads, he set up a testimony in Jacob and established, there's that word established again, a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they must make them known to their children by the lamplight, right? So the next number, 4710, is from 6845 in the Hebrew, and it means a secret place or thing, possibly a treasure or a hidden thing. It comes from 6845, and 6845 means to hide, by covering over, by implication, to hoard or reserve, to protect, esteem, hide, lay up, lurk, privily. Remember that word privy was in the very first gematria, which means to keep private or secret. And in Proverbs 2, verses 4 and 5, it says, if you will seek after her wisdom as you would for silver and search for her as you would for a hidden treasure, then you'll understand the reverence of Yahweh and find the knowledge of the Holy One. And that's exactly what we're doing in this time period. We are coming and learning by the lamplight. We are coming out of this world, and we are reverencing Yahweh by keeping his laws. Praise Yahweh. That's all the time I have for today. But if everyone would please stand, I have the great opportunity to turn it over to the great priest in Yahweh's house.
Praise Father Yahweh. That was great. At this time, we get to hear from the great Deacon Michael Ossoff.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. Peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. We're going to start with Matithiah 24:16. So let's all turn over there real quick. Matithiah 24:16. I'm going to move rapidly. Matithiah 24:16. And I'm going to go ahead and read it. And it says, "Then let those who are of Yahweh flee to the mountain." Let those who are of Yahweh flee to the mountain. And we know that mountain is the mountain of the house of Yahweh. At the Feast of Pentecost, to do a search on flee to the mountain. And so I did, and it was amazing the amount of stuff that came up. We are in the last 3.5 years, and we need to seriously prepare our hearts and minds for what's coming, because you see it building in Iran, and you see the warmongering and the hatred growing. And remember, as the war and the hatred builds, the house of Yahweh is going to have to be lifted up at the same time. So the lifting of the house of Yahweh for all the world to see is coming, so be ready. Let's jump into the codes. And I got some scriptures that we're going to have to go with some of this. So right here, these characters right here, flee to the mountain is right there. Flee to the mountain. And this one came up again, which Yahweh is reminding us the last 3.5 years has begun. No waver. These characters, and then these here. No waver, meaning it's not being signed again. Then coming after that, we had war 3 times. War right here, war right here, and war right here. And we see it coming with what's going on with Iran and the United States and the attacks on the tankers. All right, then over here we have destruction. These characters here, we have destruction. All right. Okay, we have destruction. And then we have these characters here. And that is annihilation. Complete annihilation. Then we have burn right here. Burn. On these characters. All right. Then we have calamitous. Yahweh's showing us that the times ahead are going to be extremely dangerous. Calamitous. Then we have darkening. These characters right here. Darkening. Now, flee to mountain. This word came up, and it's the same word for flee, and it's escape. Escape to the mountain. All right, escape to the mountain. Now quickly, turn over to Jeremiah 11. Jeremiah 11. Fly. Jeremiah 11, and it's found on page 583, and I'm going to go ahead and start reading. In verse 21, it says, "Therefore, this is what Yahweh's, and I have priests, say concerning the men of Anathoth." Anathoth, and we know that's the Catholic Church, the universal school of the tyrants, who seek after your life, saying, "Do not prophesy in the name of Yahweh, or you will die." And they're saying this to pastor in the house of Yahweh, Yisroel Hawkins in the house of Yahweh now, "Do not prophesy in the name of Yahweh, or you will die." But Yahweh says, "Do not touch my anointed ones in these last days. This, she has no authority to hurt us, so do not be afraid, because Yahweh's in full control." Let's jump back to the codes. So that's Anathoth. Anathoth. So we have the war, and we have the destruction. And then right here, we have Anathoth. Now, right here, we have Ark of the Covenant. And we know in these last days, the only mountain that has the true Ark of the Covenant is the house of Yahweh. Now things get even more interesting. These words were, these first two words here were connected, but the third word was not, and it was clear over on the other side. But we know they go together. We have 10 to 15 million. 10 to 15 million. Then over here we have degrees. And we know what that's talking about, where it's talking about the nuclear blast, the atomic blast, and the temperatures that it reaches. Now, we have this line here, these characters right here, these characters right here, and these characters right here. And I'm going to read it for how it came up, and then you'll know this. I'll point out the scriptures. Flight, winter, Sabbath, not. And that's referring to Matthew 24:20. Pray that your flight is not in winter or on the Sabbath day. So we have flight, winter, Sabbath, not. And they're all connected. Then moving right along. So what mountain is it we're supposed to go to? Well, we know. Let's turn over to Micaiah. Micaiah 4:1, of course. I always mark these and never get to them. Micaiah 4:1, and it reads, "But in the last days it will come to pass that the mountain promotion of the house of Yahweh will be established in the chief of the nations. It will be raised above all congregations, and all peoples will eventually flow to it." So let's go back here. So this is flee to mountain, and connected to mountain is Yod, He, Wah, He, Yahweh. So it shows you which mountain we are to flee to. The mountain of Yahweh. And why are we to flee there? Well, connected to Yahweh and mountain is protection. Protection is there. Protection from what? Right here we have tribulation. Tribulation has begun. All right. Now, over here, we have false messiahs coming, or soon to arrive. False messiahs coming. All right? Then closing out, we have right here, ending time is now. Ending time, and this word time means time or season. Ending time or season is now. All right? Turn over to Matthew 6:33. Where are you? Matthew 6:33. And it says, "But you are to seek first the kingdom." Remember, it was brought out. That word kingdom means house of Yahweh and His righteousness. Yahweh's righteousness. Yahshua's righteousness. Pastor Israel and the teachers of the house of Yahweh's righteousness. You are to seek first the house of Yahweh and the righteousness of Yahweh, the laws of Yahweh, and all these things will be added to you. All righteousness, protection, strength, mercy. Turn over to Deuteronomy 12:5. Deuteronomy 12:5. Can't get to these quick enough. Okay. Deuteronomy 12:5. And it says, "But you are to seek the habitation, the house of your father, the house of Yahweh, the place which Yahweh your father shall choose out of all your tribes to establish." And remember what the great queens, the women of Nu, have been bringing out about the word establish. His name, and there you must go. Here is where you must come. There was a couple other things here. We have Lilith. And of course, the house of Yahweh is on Abel Way. Abel Way. And that's where we must go. Now, one thing I want to point out is the skip on this was 5940. And that's this, once again, in the Bible codes, the skip is you have a character, then there's so many letters or characters to the next one. It was 5,940 characters between the letters that spelled out flee to the mountain. 5940 comes from 5927. And it means to go up, ascend, climb. So we're going to climb that mountain, aren't we? Praise Yahweh. Don't be afraid. The hatred and the war and the warmongering and the violence and aggression is going to increase, but we are protected here at the house of Yahweh, the place of protection. We are going to be lifted up for all the world to see now. Be ready. Stay close to the house of Yahweh. Watch the news. Focus on the sermons. Stay close to your counselors and teachers, and you'll be just fine. So with that, could you all please stand? I have the great honor and privilege to turn it over to a great priest, a dear friend in the house of Yahweh, the great Kohen Benjamin Krauss Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom. Please be seated. Yahweh's peace be with all of us. All right, if we could have the title slide. Okay, so welcome to the last 3.5 years. Do you believe? Did you believe without seeing? Okay, can I have my next slide? Now, Yahshua warned us, and he said in Matthew 24:25, "Behold, I have warned you beforehand." Okay? Now, when you put in "warned you of all things beforehand," remember, Yahshua is working with somebody in these last days. He's not warning you personally, although he is warning us in these words. But we have to have an instructor and a teacher. When you put "warned you of all things beforehand," you'll see 1962, which is the year that Pastor began this warning message in Eastland, Texas, on the question and answer radio broadcast. You'll also see the number 2232, and that means to sow, scatter seed, to plant seed, and conceive seed. Amazingly, that's also what you get when you put in 1025 TNP Lane, where that seed is disseminated, sowed, printed, put out for the people to get, right? 1025 TNP Lane. That's the press room and the first sanctuary of the house of Yahweh. Still is. It's still sitting there. If you just put in, "I warned you, I have warned you of all things beforehand," you'll get the same number, 2232, this time in the Sumerian. And you'll get another one, another number, 2955, which means to drip or to drop. Discourse, speak, spokesman, to speak by inspiration and to prophesy. And I want you to also keep in mind that Strong's Hebrew 22 or Greek 2232, it should say Greek, not Hebrew, means a leader, a governor, a guide, a chief person, and it's from 2233 to lead, from number 71 to lead, bring, and guide. Remember, that's what Abilene means. It means to bring. And the leader is who? Who's our leader? That's right, Pastor Israel Abel Hawkins. Can I have my next slide? Remember everything you've been hearing about fleeing. On 5/8/19, the U.S. Department of State Secretary Pompeo put out a letter, and he says the determination under the Jerusalem Embassy Act. On May 14th, the embassy moved to Jerusalem, he said, and he said at the bottom, "Accordingly, no further presidential waiver of the funding restriction under the act is necessary." So no waivers, no more, like you just heard from the great deacon. That was on 5/8/19. Notice, 5/8/19 is from 5756. It means to cause to flee. Flee for refuge. To take refuge. Bring to refuge. Remember, it's not just about us. We're supposed to be out there teaching and bringing others to the house of Yahweh. Bring to refuge, seek refuge. And it means to strengthen, you know, strengthen, do the teachings, to strengthen others, you know, the feeble-minded, those that are weak. To save by flight, to gather selves, to flee. Okay, this was on 5/8/19. No, isn't that remarkable? Notice also when it was Abel 3, and if you put in Abel 3, 5/8/2019, you get 2862, which Pastor was 28. In 1962, when he began preaching this warning message about getting to coming to Yahweh. Okay, can I have my next slide? So the Last Supper, did y'all enjoy that? Notice it wasn't your last. You had another one after that, right? It was the Last Supper for Pentecost, for the feast. Okay, so 6/10/2019, let's talk about that gematria. You see the number 2331, it means to show, to tell, to declare, to show. And That's what Pastor did. Did y'all notice he had his book of Yahweh? And he opened it up to Matithiah 24. And he began to show, to tell, and to declare what we could expect. And he also declared what? That we're in the last 3.5 years now. Okay? Notice, has declared the last 3.5 years, 42 moons, the end. Notice the number 610. That was the date that he sat up here and told you, you're in the last 3.5 years. 610 in Hebrew means anointed. Anoint. Yes, the anointed one told you. He's anointed to bring this message. Can I have my next slide? 610 in the Greek means a judicial sentence. From 611, to be parted, separated, to give an answer. Notice, to begin to speak where an address is expected. Now, don't we expect him to speak to us at the community meal? And he began to speak, and he told us about this last 3.5 years, and he went through various scriptures in Matithiah 24. When you put in to begin to speak where an address is expected, you get 24:78. If you recall, he read Matithiah 24:7-8, which says, "For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines, disease epidemics, earthquakes in place after place." And he said, all these are the first half of the tribulation. And he told us that's over. The other number is 24:23. And he read this scripture, 24:23, in Matithiah. It says, then if any man says to you, behold, here is the Messiah, or he is there, do not believe it. Remember he told you, where do you go when someone tells you some foolishness like that? You don't go anywhere. You stay here, right? Can I have my next slide? 6/10/2019, second number is 2022, and it means mountain. Didn't he tell us something about fleeing to a mountain on that night? That's right. He said, he quoted Matithiah 24:16, then let those who are in Yada flee into the mountain. That other number, 337, by the way, means alas and woe. And if you recall in Revelation 12:12, it says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because she knows she has but a short time. And yes, she does know, and her demons know right now. Listen to this here. And when it says, flee into the mountain, you get the number 1356, and it means fallen from Zeus, fallen from Jupiter, fell down from Jupiter, fell down from Jupiter. Man, that Jupiter keeps coming up everywhere, doesn't it? When you put in woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, you get 2466, and it means short time. That's talking about the time cut short spoken of in Matithiah 24:22. The cut short time, the last 3.5 years, the time cut short. Can I have my next slide? On 6/10/19, the planet Jupiter was at opposition. It was in a constellation called Ophiuchus. Ophiuchus, I believe, is how you pronounce it. That is going to be significant. If you notice, Jupiter in Ophiuchus, 6/10/19, you get the number 411. You remember that crossing of those comets on 411, which occurred on April 11th, 97. If you count the days from 411-97 to 6/10/2019, Pentecost, you get 8096. If you notice, that's exactly 266 months to the day. Don't we have a Pope 266? And doesn't 266 mean sin? It's also, notice at the bottom there, it says it's 2218 of a common year. 2218? Oh, that's when the Nimrod system, the current Nimrod system, began in Revelation or in Genesis 10:8. Remember? Cush begot Nimrod, 2218 BY. 8096 is the number of days, and it means renowned, famous. You know, these renowned men of old that Genesis talked about. Drop the zero, and you'll see who's behind the veil. 896 means Babylon, Baal. Strong's Greek means Baal. Now, the current leader of this mystery Babylon Nimrod system is Pope 266. So you see all the numbers and you see how it just gives them away? See how Yahweh exposes them? Okay, let's find out who this Ophiuchus character is. Can I have my next slide? This constellation. We had to put a shirt on him, you know, like we do all the gods. None of them wear shirts. But his name, it means Ophiuchus. It's the 13th sign or the 13th constellation, or not the 13th constellation, but 13th sign they call it. And it means, it's Greek for serpent bearer. You see him, he's got the serpent in his hand. Constellation Ophiuchus, 1674, really? Wow. Isn't that the tag number of the serpent here? Pointing, you see 266 pointing at it? The serpent bearer, 666. You also see a 1074 because that's the one who opposes the serpent bearer, okay? Don't get him confused with this serpent, the divining serpent over here that Vatican means, remember? So let's look at the next slide. Jupiter in Ophiuchus, 610-19, 2466, short time. Short time. Remember, Jupiter's in Ophiuchus, and it's telling us on 610, it's in that constellation, and it's telling us we have a shortened time, a time cut short. It's also Hebrew 25:11, and it means from 2505 to deal, divide, share, divided, dividing. You know the divided time that Daniel spoke of in Daniel 7:25? The last 3.5 years? It's also talking about a deal. Notice, divide, the etymology or the meaning of divide in Merriam-Webster means to divide, to deal, deal. The word deal comes from the Old English word meaning divide, divide. Sound familiar? Didn't Daniel say that these guys, these characters would be dividing the land for gain? The deal of the century? Didn't they tell you about that? The deal of the century, I'll bet you. Can I have my next slide? Which is going to bring destruction, okay? Total destruction, total burning, as you'll see in a minute. Jupiter and Ophiuchus, look at these three numbers. This is talking about the sickly, the lady, the queen, the mistress, lord, master. From 1396, the very word used in Daniel 9:27, the strong covenant. Daniel 9:27. Put Daniel 9:27 in gematria and you get 1674. Wow, what a coincidence. Strong's 1404 means a dragon, a monster, serpent, a seeing one. Remember the Holy Sea. The one that works behind the scenes to accomplish her agenda. You know, the Freemasons. Remember, Freemasonry is Catholicism, 1674. Don't get them confused. You know, Freemasonry is Catholicism, okay? They're free builders. They're free from the laws of Yahweh, they think. 234 also is page 234 in the Unveiling Satan book, and you'll see the Queen of Heaven there, or Zeus, or Jupiter, or the Lord of Heaven, the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, okay, in Matthew 24 and in Daniel. Can I have my next slide? When you put in Ophiuchus and Jupiter, you get 211 in 1674 again. Wow. But what is this 211 talking about? Well, if you remember earlier in the month of Mary, I told you that on 2/11/18, the divining serpent, Pope Francis, created a new Marian feast called Mary, Mother of the Church. To be celebrated, notice, June 10th, 2019, when Jupiter's in the serpent bearer, right? Now, how did they know that? Well, they do know that. They worship this woman. They know what they're doing. There's no excuse for them. These are divining serpents. They worship this mother, this mother on Jupiter. And it was issued on 2/11, which was the anniversary of the apparition of Mary at Lourdes, France. The apparition. Can I have my next slide? Now, Earth and Jupiter were closest on June 12th, okay? Opposition was on the 10th, but they were closest on the 12th, 612. Remember that number? We've gone over that quite frequently over the years. June 10th, and it says Jupiter's opposition was at June 10th, 1500 UTC. When you put that in gematria, notice you get to set on fire, to burn, burn deeply, to inflame deeply, burn. We just heard that word, right? The second number, 1356, means fell down from Jupiter. Fell down from Jupiter? Wow. What a coincidence. Jupiter just keeps coming up everywhere now, doesn't it? You kept hearing about it all along this last month or so, right? Strong's 226 means a sign, signs, token of changes of weather or a token of the change of times. You see that? It also means not hidden and unconcealed. You know, Yahweh is exposing this whole thing, right? Can I have my next slide? Now, the other part of this article says, on June 12, 2019, at 3 UTC, the giant planet will be closest to Earth for all of 2019. Notice, when you type in Jupiter, closest approach to Earth, you get the year 2019. Okay? Just like Pastor told you, this year, closest ever. June 12th, type that in and you get Hillel. To be bright, to make a boast, to shine. It also means, it's also number 864, which means to arrive at, to come to reach. I wonder what that means. Now, you remember that word burn the great deacon just told you about? Y'all remember the Ark of Triumph or the Ark of Baal? Now, you probably thought they put that thing in the museum, right? They probably hid it away in the basement somewhere. They're not using it anymore. Well, you'd be wrong. Can I have my next slide? They just set that stupid thing up again in Bern, Switzerland. See that? Bern, Switzerland. That's a play on words. On June 12th, they set it up. The Ark of Baal, or the Ark of Triumph, as it's called. Notice you put in Ark of Triumph, Bern, Switzerland. And notice what you get again. 2511 from 2505. To divide, divided, dividing, deal. Wow, what a coincidence. But notice what else it means. 2076, to slaughter and sacrifice. To slaughter and sacrifice. I wonder what they got up their sleeve. What do you think? You remember the four horns of the golden altar? Remember that? And the burning? Okay, can we have my next slide? So then on 6/13, what was that, yesterday? Or was that yesterday? No, the day before yesterday. Here's the headlines. War drums. That was yesterday, last night, but 6/13. It talked about a false flag attack taking place near the Strait of Hormuz. That looks like a combination of Horus and Tammuz, right? Probably. A false flag, Strait of Hormuz, it says, 1674. I wonder if that tells us who's behind this. Or could that be a coincidence? What do you think? Well, let's find out. Can I have my next slide? From when the peace plan shut down on 4/13/97 to June 13th, 1997, notice, 266 months to the very day again. The same number you just saw a few slides ago that shows Babel, Babylon, Pope 266, 2218, when the Nimrod system currently, this current Nimrod system that he controls. Remember, this peace plan, who was this peace plan made by? And who was it made to exalt? The prince, Satan, is the one that made this peace plan, and her representatives are on the seven hills of Rome. Can I have my next slide? There was an oil tanker. You know, they said that these tankers that are getting hit, it reminds them of the oil tanker. It says, oil tanker attacks echo Persian Gulf 1980s tanker war. Put in tanker war and look what you get. Can I have my next slide? That tanker war was part of Operation Praying Mantis. It was back in 1988 in retaliation for the Iranian mining of the Persian Gulf during the Iran-Iraq war and the subsequent damage to an American warship. Notice the ship that they sent over, the USS Bagley. It's on that patch right there. See his tag? Operation Praying Mantis, 1674. Well, there's the Praying Mantis right there. He's pointing at his tag. Shows you who's behind this, doesn't it? Can I have my next slide? Now it's telling us in this news report from yesterday, Trump team weighs options against Iran after tanker explosions. Put in Trump team weighs options against Iran, and again, you get divide, divided, deal, dividing. You also get sin offering, burnt offering. Remember? What was that? Slaughter, sacrifice we saw? It means punishment of sin, to bear, purge, reconciliation, make reconciliation, purify. Can I have my next slide? Now look at this headline. This is from yesterday again. U.S. NATO moves in the Baltics raise Russian fears. Yes, they're doing some moves over there, and Russia's getting scared. Notice, when you put that in gematria, that whole article, it says afraid. It's 2730, afraid, fearful, trembling, to disturb, to make afraid, to startle, to fear. And the other number is 2507, and again you get divide, dividing, deal. Isn't this a coincidence? Okay, are y'all kind of seeing where we're at here? Do you really see where we're at? You're in the divided time, the last 3.5 years, the dividing of time that Daniel spoke about, that Yahshua spoke about, that our pastor told us about right up here, and he made the declaration on 6:10 on Pentecost. That's the first time I've ever seen him take out, I could be wrong, but I've never seen him take out his book of Yahweh and go through it in Matithya 24 like that, like methodically and warning us what was going to take place. Can I have my last slide? I'm going to show you who they're exalting here. Remember, Daniel 11:31 says, the army will stand on his part, and they will pollute the sanctuary of strength, and will take away the daily, and they will place the Lord of heaven. Place the Lord of heaven, you get 1170 and 1171, and it means Baal, Lord of the Covenant. Well, what covenant? The Oslo. Yeah. Who's the Baal of the Covenant? Well, 1171 tells you, Baal of Fortune. Jupiter is the Lord of Fortune. The Lord of Fortune, Jupiter, Zeus, Baal, the Queen of Heaven, the Abomination of Desolation. I think, can you show that last slide? I think I would be fleeing into this mountain about right now. Wait for further instructions, because the one that's going to tell us more is coming up very soon here, okay? If you'd all please stand. That's all the time I have. So welcome to the last 3.5 years. Don't be careful. Be very careful, but don't be afraid, okay? Just keep Yahweh's laws and follow the one sent. You cannot go wrong. At this time, it's my great opportunity and privilege to present to you the great Kohan Ilya Hawkins.
Please be seated. Peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Well, in the news, we start off, and this would only mean something to people in the house of Yahweh, and it's showing how mankind is doing everything but repenting to escape death. And it shows how they're trying to convert any type of blood to O negative, since O negative can be given to anybody. And I want you to listen how they say, we can save thousands of lives now. We can do this and we can do that. And then listen very closely to how they say they're going to do it. There's something that mankind can't do. They can't get a certain enzyme out of blood to change it over to O negative. So they had to go find an enzyme that's already in the body. And they found one in the gut. So they had this bright idea that if we take this out of fecal matter, we can put it in the blood and it'll fix it. Everything but repenting. And notice that they're still trying to manipulate, because they don't have power to control the microbes, but they're trying to manipulate, and they're going to some of the most unclean things to try to stay alive. And it's bizarre that they do it that way, but it shows truly how ignorant society has become by rejecting Yahweh, and that's where the ignorance comes from. And then we get into the violence that is truly on a global scale in and around the Great River Euphrates in that fourth part of the earth. It starts out with riots in Hong Kong. And watch how violent these things are taking place. And they're fighting because of a new law they're trying to pass in Hong Kong where criminals can be extradited into mainland China. So they're fighting against that. But watch the violence behind it. And then Sudan, that's a country the United States went into. Remember, South Sudan is a very oil-rich country. But they're poor, very poor, because the oil has not been developed, or as they say, harvested yet. Everybody's kind of waiting till they can get control of that. And the United States is in control of it. But watch the violence, how it's turning more deadly in Sudan. Libya, of course, we went in there. The United States went in there to remove Muammar Gaddafi so that people could be safe. Well, you can see the safety taking place in Libya right now. And then the United States, as the great Con Benjamin was talking about, here in Poland, are moving troops into Poland. Not very many troops into Poland right now, but they are making a huge weapon deal. Multiple F-35s and also a huge liquefied natural gas deal has been made with Poland. And think about this. Poland could get gas from Europe, but they're wanting to get it from the other side of the planet. So there's a lot more to it than that. They even say they don't even know how they're going to get it there yet. But there's an oil deal in with the weapons deal. And then you have Turkey. Remember, Turkey has bought these S-400 missile systems from Russia, and everyone's telling them they need to stop the purchase. And Erdogan, who's the president of Turkey, says it's not that we're going to purchase, we've already purchased it. So in return, they've been given a deadline of the seventh Roman month, the 31st day, to decide whether they want to be in NATO or whether they want to be with Russia. And that's the deadline that's been given to them. And then, of course, the prime minister of Japan. What better person to send to Iran to give them a nuclear warning than the president of Japan, the only country that has had a nuclear bomb detonated in a time of war on it? But they send him to speak with Iran, I'm sure, with cautious and warning about what's to take place. Along with this, it shows how Israel, and remember how we said it, there's not much in the news about Syria right now. You got to look for it, really, because there's so many other things. But it shows how Israel has attacked Syria 6 times in the last 3 months with missiles and rockets. And listen to the commentators. He's saying that anything right now could spark complete havoc in that part of the earth, in that part of the world, due to you have Russian bases, you have Iranian bases, and Israel's saying they're shooting at the Iranian bases. But he goes on to say how if Russians are killed, it won't work very well. And listen how they break it down, and you can see they're trying to figure out what Pastor's been explaining for years, how these things are taking place. And then, of course, Mike Pompeo accusing Iran of the attack on the oil tanker that just took place right out of the Strait of Hormuz in the Gulf of Oman. And if you watch what he's doing, he says, we're not wanting war, but what he's trying to do is drum up more pressure on Iran. And that's what they're trying to do, is put pressure on Iran. And you're just supposed to take the Secretary of State's word that Iran is the one that's at fault. And then something very important, write this down because this is extremely important that this took place. Pope Francis met with the leaders of all oil companies. He summoned them to the Vatican, and his instructions to them were, the Paris Agreement needs to be put into action without causing economic harm on their business growth. Remember what they said the Paris Agreement was. They say it's we're burning gases, but they said the population needs to be drastically reduced. So watch, why would you call in oil leaders to talk to them about these things? Well, of course, hurt not the oil and the wine, and this beast who operates, and of course, there's a second beast that operates, the two horn that we see in Revelation 13, the Catholic and the Protestant working together that receives authority from the first beast, carrying these things out. Also, another president has been summoned to the Vatican on the seventh Roman month of the fourth day, and it's Vladimir Putin. He's been summoned to the Vatican, and watch what. Now, we show from what's called Rome's report. This is put out by the Vatican, and they emphasize how he continually shows up late. He insults the Pope intentionally with what he does, showing that the authority, you may think you have authority, but I'm not going to show the respect to whatever authority you think you have. And if you want to see the dislike, watch Pope Francis when he's sitting at the desk looking at President Putin. President Putin's laughing at him in return. Well, with all these things taking place, President Putin had a warning for everybody. And his warning were, and this is a quote from President Putin, if we do not keep this fiery serpent under control, if we let it out, God forbid, he says, this could lead to global catastrophe. He goes on to say that his greatest fear is that a nuclear war has just become common talk these days, and no one's taking it seriously anymore. You know, and that's the warning that Pastor's been given, and everybody says, they've said that for years. You got less than 3.5 years to figure it out now because it's going to take place. The time is at hand, and we're going to see all of these things take place. And remember, they said in that article where the nuclear bomb was 10 to 15 million degrees, you got to see it to believe it. No, you don't. You have to believe it without seeing it to enter into the priesthood. At this time, if we could please go ahead and play the news. Praise Yahweh. If everybody will please stand, we want to show you something really quickly. This just was breaking news coming across RT. And you'll see it says, large explosion rocks Syria's Damascus. Remember what Pastor said. It starts with Damascus, these things going on. And remember what he's brought about. It will cease to be a city, as Isaiah says. And at this time, I would like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great guy in Israel, Abel Hawkins.
Hello, everyone. We still got a feast going on. A crowd. Praise Yahweh. Oh, yes, Yahweh. Be seated. Yahweh's peace be with each and every one of you. I had my sermon all lined out, and then I got to seeing all these things that women were bringing. I said, wow, I'd like to preach on that. And then here come the men behind them, and I said, yeah, I'd like to preach on that too. But this will fit right in to their sermons, of course. This, the thing about the hidden codes. Now, the hidden codes are not hidden anymore. And, of course, we're using them to back up prophecy. But this ought to be pretty exciting to everyone, that the hidden codes would actually bring forth, with Abel Way, 10 to 15 million degrees Fahrenheit, that's the nuclear burning, anathote, ask at Abel, and also the fact that there's a lot about anathote, but I don't know if you remember or not. I think it's in one of the books, though, that was Uremia's residence, and it was also the place where the Catholic priests went to train at that time. But it actually means ask at Abel, receive answer at Abel. But all of these are in one thing, and that was the flee to the mountain that I brought out on Pentecost evening when we were having a wonderful supper together. No more waver, anathote, 10 to 15 million degrees Fahrenheit, and Abel Way. Abel Way, and as the other elder brought out, you know, the gematrix show this too, and Abel Way, we didn't invent that name until we took a picture of it 3/30/2018. That's just a little over a year ago that we invented the name, put it up, and it's acceptable now to everyone. And yet it was put in the hidden codes thousands of years ago. The hidden codes that are being revealed now. We've got a grand report here out of I think there's 196 nations, countries, and we're reaching 181. That is, we reached them in 30 days. I know we're reaching all the countries, but that this is proof for it. So the House of Yahweh is doing its job, its prophesied job, by the way. It's prophesied that we would. The Pentecost services, the comments were great, and there's thousands of them. I put down several pages. I didn't bring them with me. No way to go over them in the time that I've got. Over 146,000 viewers for Pentecost Day. I didn't expect that many. 146,000. Over 173,000 viewers on the first day service that we had, then a three-day service, and then over 181,000 viewers on the Sabbath day. So on that three-day feast, we reached several thousand people with this warning, of course. It's not just a warning. We're not being critical of our government. In fact, we're praying for our government. We know that the quartet is going to turn to Yahweh, what is left of the quartet, at the end of the nuclear burning. Few will be left, and of that few, of course, the quartet, what's left of it, will actually turn to the house of Yahweh. We do show the prophecies concerning the government of the United States and the world. And right now, we're showing that fourth part of the earth that's plainly shown in your scriptures around the great river Euphrates. You can't miss it. I mean, your Bible, even the King James Version, describes this fourth part of the earth where the trouble is going on right now, where the great explosion just rocked Damascus. I don't see how anyone could keep from seeing this and seeing the trouble building. And Yeshua said that's the first half. That's the first half, the nation against nations, kingdoms against kingdom, and so forth. And then, of course, comes the second half, which is going to be the worst ever in history, Yahweh says, and must be cut short. What we're doing is bringing the peaceful solution. It is being taught to the children. The children, right now, our children in the house of Yahweh could teach the leaders of the world the way to peace. I know they would laugh at that, but it's a fact. They could teach it the way to peace. What I brought out during this three-day feast, I'd like for you to remember. One thing is to teach your children diligently. If you don't teach them diligently, you'll be teaching them. But if you're not teaching the laws of Yahweh diligently to your children, if you don't do it, you're going to teach your children to curse the world. There'll be nothing but a bunch of curses, just like we see in the world today. There's nobody bringing peace. There's nobody bringing a blessing out there. The only thing you're seeing is bickering, arguing, sexually diseases, over 1 million a day now. The hatred, the defiled minds, the defiled earth. Everything is defiled right now and getting worse. The World Health Organization is alarmed about this and sending out warnings every day. It's not reaching anyone. They're not paying any attention to it. They're not getting their attention. They're trying to cover their own sins on the one hand, while they vaguely tell the people, if you don't change, you're all going to die from STDs. The Vatican is using this global warming thing as a cover-up for what is shown plainly from Revelation 6 through 13, and what it will bring, Revelation 17 and Revelation 18. But they're using this global warming what they call the global warming, which we've got a real problem there, and I wrote a book on it showing the real cause of global warming. They're using this to build up, and they're the leaders of it. The Vatican is the one that wrote the seven-year peace agreement. They're the ones that got it signed. They're the ones behind it that would get the most benefits, including the control of Jerusalem. They're the ones behind all of this. The Revelation 13, where it shows them saying, this gives you enough, let us be like the first beast. They're also saying it openly, let us be like the first beast. They want they want to resurrect the Roman Empire. They want a one world government. And they're, as they say, very active in bringing this about right now. They're in the middle of it, bringing this about. I got it in an article here, the Pope's latest message. But to bring peace, there's no way you could use 10 words or less and take a week off and go bring peace to the earth. It's not that easy. But it starts with the training of the children. Training of the children. And of course, this has got to be done diligently. Otherwise, you'll train them to be curses, just like the world is full of curses right now. The wonderful thing that we see in Hannah and the ones who Yahweh used to bring forth the Savior, and then the Savior being willing to suffer and die for us, if you just put yourself in his spot and see what actually went on in that man's life for him to do this, he had to be weaned off of the world totally, and to the point to where it was Yahweh's will be done only. Yahweh's will be done only in that man's life. And then with that, he could suffer more than any person on earth, and all the time look forward to what he was going to be bringing with you. the peace that he's going to bring with you. To get the children to see the cause of this defilement and the hatred and the wars. A child, as you saw with Hannah, the way she raised Samuel and kept him till he was fully weaned off of the world, weaned off of the evil of the world, and was willing to work his life and throughout all eternity in the work of Yahweh. We saw the same thing in Moshe. His mother, Yahweh arranged that his mother, after he was put afloat in the river, the child was actually brought out, and the queen, not knowing that it was his mother, actually got her to raise the child, Moshe, and teach him against joining any evil. And by the time she weaned him off of the world, he wanted no part with the Egyptian kingdom or any other of the worldly kingdoms. He was willing to work and suffer many things the rest of his life. He was willing to do that. Moshe, great man. Well, if you use your imagination and put the scriptures together, you'll see that Yochanan was also a great man, and was willing. He was trained, of course, by a family in Galilee, kept secluded. Now, the way we know this is they didn't know each other even. I mean, you can see that from the history of Yeshua's writings, the disciples' writings, and so forth. So they were kept secluded like Samuel was under the guidance of their mother. Yes, Mary guided Yeshua, and she was still guiding him when he was 12 years old and is still yielding to it. If you get that example, then you'll know how you got to conduct yourselves. I'm speaking to the children. Conduct yourselves in gaining this knowledge from your mother, the laws of Yahweh. If the mother doesn't know how to teach it, she needs to put in more time at the house of Yahweh. That's where you get your training. That's where you get this blessing. This is the greatest blessing a person can receive. Yes. Praise Yahweh. Well, with that now in your mind, keep that, because this is a guide to everyone, that to those who are falling short also of it. It's not too late to take it up. It's time you did, where you can start teaching not only your children. I'm talking to the parents now. Right now, we've set up everything to where this can be done in the house of Yahweh. All you got to do is take advantage of it. Pope to the oil executives. Now, you saw that on the news. We played it there just now. But what's behind this thing? First off, it's hurt not the oil. You can plainly see that, and that's exactly what the scripture shows. It says, Rome speaking to oil company executives. Pope Francis on sixth day said that climate change threatens the very future of humanity, adding that the doomsday predictions can no longer be met with disdain. And, of course, he's talking about the scriptures there, and we're the ones that's bringing these scriptures that they call doomsday, because their children were not trained in righteousness. They were not trained in righteousness. They have brought forth the way of Cain, which is defilement, hatred, frustration, confusion, disease, and also fighting and war. The climate crisis requires our decisive action. Now, he's trying to spur them into action, but this action is to protect their oil. That's the first on the agenda. Then the rest of this we see is, let us be like the first beast. Now, to be like the first beast, you've got to wipe out all of these others that are not like the first beast and want nothing to do with it. The ancient commentaries, those who write about the history of the Catholic Church, they had a little more backbone than the preachers out there today. The preachers out there today are being paid salaries by the corporations, which tells them what to preach. They can't step out of line. They know if they do, if they start telling the truth or bringing the prophecies that of what this world is bringing on itself, they're going to be fired. and they know it, and they won't do it. I've seen it since childhood when my brother-in-law was a Free Will Baptist, and I was showing him scriptures and what his corporation told him to bring, he had to bring it, or they would fire him. Well, he said he quit later, so I don't know if he got fired or if he what actually took place there. But this, the church, the Vatican, is plainly writing up these bills, like the seven-year peace agreement, and they're writing them up for today, guiding the nations. And when the Pope goes to a nation, and that nation doesn't do what they say for them to do, somehow or another, the United States gets involved right behind them. and trouble starts with the United States trying to bring peace there. Well, the climate crisis, he says, requires our decisive attention. Now, this is what's said. What is meant is we have got to be like the first beast. To be like the first beast, you've got to wipe out everyone that won't fall under this idolatrous worship. And I'm quoting right now a Methodist who wrote a commentary, that is, his organization did, and his name is on it, who spells out and shows that Daniel 7 is none other than the Roman Catholic Church, the Vatican, and the Pope. I got a copy of it here. If I get to it, I'll read it to you. He says, we must take responsible actions. Now, they're going to take action. The actions you're going to see is war. That's what you're going to see. War to protect the oil and war to protect the Roman Catholic God-worshipping religion. That's the action you're going to see come forth. If you will mark my words and pay attention to what's going on over there in that part of the country, which is soon now, they're going to get desperate very soon and start using the nuclear. That takes place in this 3.5 years. We must take responsibility. We must take responsible actions, bearing in mind their impact in the short and in the long run. This is not going to be something that even the oil executives would do without this hurting their conscience. This is going to be the worst part of the seven-year peace plan. The seven-year peace plan is not really a peace plan. It's a seven years of action. There was 72 to begin with Daniel. Every one of them came to pass. You know, a person have to be a fool. I mean, you can go right through that thing and see every one of them came to pass. He set a time from a certain time that they had begun, and they came in stages, and everything he said was fulfilled and is fulfilled right now, except what I'm saying, what the man wearing the linen who held up both hands and said, it's going to go. It's going to be 3.5 years now, and that's it. It's not going to be delayed any longer. Daniel saw me and said I would be saying that. We must, bearing in mind, he said, their impact. These actions are going to have great impact that is going to hurt the conscience of oil executives, along with everyone else on earth when they find out that these murders were planned. All of this killing was planned. Climate change. hurricanes, droughts, floods. The crisis, he argued, must also be confronted. The U.S. confirms no more presidential waivers for Jerusalem embassy acts. Now this of course was your first half. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said Wednesday that he had notified Congress that no more presidential waivers will be required, deferring the full implementation of a 1995 law. This was in 95. This is 2019. That's 24 years ago now that this waiver was first signed that recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital and mandated moving the U.S. embassy to that city. I'll bring the next time I speak. I've got articles showing what was actually brought forth to bring this plan about, when it was brought forth. Started in 1982 with the Vatican, of course, heavily involved, and then ended up being signed then in 1993. It started way before that 82, but that was the first it came public. However, the law allowed for the president to waive the move if he or she deemed it detrimental to American national security interest. Since its passing, every U.S. president, including Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama, has signed the waiver every 6 months, despite Bush and Clinton having promised to move the embassy during their respective campaign. Well, no more signing this waiver. No more is time going to be delayed now. It's going to come to pass, and they're celebrating the 4th of July, this time in Jerusalem. So they're moving all their pagan holidays there too, the nations. This is something that opens it up to all the nations and their pagan holidays, and of course, selling their trinkets and pulling people to a tourist in. Now, on the other hand, U.S. current military strategy will not work in deterring China, Russia, report finds. A Wednesday report from the Center for a New American Security has determined that the U.S. current military strategy will not work in the event that it goes to war in a bid to tackle Chinese and Russian aggression. Well, we must. I just read you what the Pope said. This is a must. Why would you think they would be spelling this out right here? We've got a plan already. We've got the plan. It's already made out by the Vatican. But the ones in the know who study war is saying this is not going to work. This plan is not going to work. China and Russia have the upper hand now. They can defeat the United States, is what they're saying. This means war against Russia and China. A plan for it. But it won't work, is what they're saying here. I'm just reading what they say, and then we bring forth the prophecies as to what really will take place. While the Department of Defense, DOD, has taken its military superiority for granted and focused on defeating non-state adversaries. Notice they call them adversaries. China and Russia have been devising strategies and developing new concepts and weapons to defeat the United States in a war should the need arise. They have offset the relative weakness versus the United States by using time and geography to their advantage and by focusing their weapons and concept development on finding ways to attack vulnerable nodes in U.S. military operations. Also, I read an article where they also have it planned to hit the electric plants, the communications networks. All of this is going to be shut down on first strike. So if we go off of the air, don't forget, I told you, Yeshua told you, you need to head for the mountain. You don't know when this is going to take place. And Yahweh is not going to tell you either. If he did, the whole world would be here pretending they're wanting to follow him. Well, finding ways to attack vulnerable nodes in U.S. military operation. The American way of war that emerged following the Cold War, will not work in an era of great power competition. And according to this article, both China and Russia, which also have allies that they are going to enlist to help in this global warming that we must face, despite the consequences, we must face this global warming problem. With this global warming problem that we must face, on the top agenda is the war that wipes out the opposite religions, opposite the Catholic Church, and, of course, protects the oil for the Catholic Church, for all the Catholics and their future workers. The two tankers that supposedly got hit some way. I would say that is probably one of the steps towards this. Now, remember what we read, and I keep thinking about what the deacon and the women and the Kohan Benjamin Krauss Hawkins brought forth here, and how it brings out no waiver. And here the government is saying no waiver. How could we pass this up? How could we possibly think? You can't make this up. I mean, it's there for anyone to see. This program is on the market. And it says no waiver. Then it gives Abel way. gives even the degrees that I gave you the other night. I had no idea this was going to be brought this Sabbath. I did later. He called me and told me and went over it with me. And I okayed it. But 10 to 15 million degrees that I told you about on Pentecost that night And here it is, hidden for thousands of years, and now being brought out in the house of Yahweh. By the, what was that scripture in Revelations? Revelations 10, what? What?
Seven.
Oh, is that what it was? Revelations 10:7, and we're bringing out the secrets of Yahweh. And in this time period, they're going to be finished in this generation. Well, here, go turn over to Daniel. Daniel, because that's what this is speaking of right here. And of course, the Daniel 9, and he gives you, he starts off here with 70 weeks in chapter 9 and verse 24. And I have traced these and got them written about, and I spoke on them. So there's, you know, all you got to do is go and read it. And it's there, it's written down. So you can study it and see it and know that this is, there's no way a person could have written this and then brought it to pass. Daniel spoke or wrote this in 538 BY. And here it's coming to pass 2,500 years later. 2,500 years later. And all the parts in between there of the coming of the Savior and the dates he gave and the conditions and what would be done. I mean, he just spelled it out like he was looking at it. Maybe on a sea of glass and just looking at it and writing it down. and given it to us, no one else. It was closed and sealed. In fact, it's locked up in vaults in the Vatican for over 1,500 years, but brought out to us, Revelations 10:7, so we could bring it to the entire world and reveal Yahweh's salvation and the way to hell, both at the same time. They're going to take you to hell with them bombs. In verse 27, and he, you see that word he, and he. It's very important that you get this, because that he, it, you've got to go back to, well, you could get find it before this, but go back to Daniel 7, and this is where the he takes over. And verse 26 in chapter 9, it calls him a prince. And of course, this is speaking of the prince of demons, which Yahweh shows, and even the Interpreter's Bible Dictionary shows, that this is Satan herself and the Lord of the heavenly habitation. The Lord of the heavenly habitation. You've seen a lot of, on that, speaking of Jupiter here in the last few weeks and months that we've been bringing out and showing this heavenly habitation and how strong it is and how it's actually going to rock the earth. It's going to cause certain planets or stars to fall. Don't fear that by any means, because Yahweh has got you protected. He did that years before this ever take place, and he said, fear not, just do your job. That's all you got to do. Fear not, but do your job, and you will be protected in the place of protection. But he said, flee to the mountain, to the mountain. He's speaking of Micaiah 4, verses 1 through 6. In the last days, the house of the mountain of the house of Yahweh, that's the promotion of the house of Yahweh, would be established. Now, I brought you all the information on that word established and what it actually means. Recognized by the government, but also establish you as a people in heaven. I've set you apart here for all heaven and earth to see and judge, that you're the ones, only the ones, only the very elect, which you are the elect. You're the ones that Yahweh is going to cut it short for. All you've got to do is obey. If you don't obey, and if you don't endure, those are the two things. If you leave, you're gone forever. You threw it away. If you don't obey, you're gone forever. You left before your body did. In Revelations 9 and verse 20, we better look at that first and come back here to this he later. Revelations 9, because here's where you see the action taking place. Revelations 9 and verse 20, and the rest of the men who were not killed by those plagues, talking about around the great river Euphrates there in verse 14, and the nuclear bombs that is shown in Revelations 9, verse 17, the disease epidemics, and they're given authority by the beast, by Satan the devil. In verse 20, it shows the heavenly habitation of Lucifer and the rest of the men who were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the works of their hands. Works of their hands are the missiles and bombs, that they should not worship demons. Demons, that of course is Satan's children. That's the gods of Genesis 3:5. Evil like the gods, where Satan said to Eve, this is more fun, that going out into the world is more fun than staying here studying for the kingdom. Now there was a lot of pull then, but there's more pull now than has ever been in man's history for this. He says, he who endures this establishment, he's establishing you for this great job, this kingdom of priests. He who endures this establishment will be selected, live forever. Even the lowest slave, Yeshua shows, will be more glorious than Solomon was. So, but they wouldn't repent of worshiping. This is what brought it. Gods. You know, all the world worships gods except the house of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. Yeah, 4,199 religions worshiping gods. 21, neither would they repent of their murders. And this is the conditions that we've got to face. And the short run and the long run, in order to bring about the one world government, the murders, Yahweh calls them murders here, and the Pope makes it look like you've either got to do this and bring about this one world government that they're going to be the head of, or this other is this global warming is going to wipe out the entire earth. Now that's the picture he's putting forth to the public. And you got to buck up and stiffen your backbone and be willing to do it no matter the cost. No matter how much murder you have to do, this is the message that's being brought forth. For this 3.5 years that we're in right now, the worst ever, neither did they repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication. Their sorceries, by the way, is where they're getting a lot of information. Sorceries. This covers a lot of territory. And it's also, this also has to do with pharmaceuticals and what's taking place with the pharmaceuticals that the doctors are given, that you buy over the counter, many of them too, that affects the minds. Yes, affects the minds of the people. Nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Thefts of property and oil that doesn't belong to them. 14 gives you the place, the location, around the great river Euphrates. And 14 also gives you that fourth part of the earth. Now, go back to Daniel 7. Because this he that is spoken of here in Daniel 9:27, he is shown. This he is shown here. His quartet shown. These great beasts, which are four, the quartet, are four kingdoms that will arise out of the earth, meaning multitudes, nations, and tongues, as Revelation shows. But the saints of Yahweh will take the kingdom by force. That is mistranslated there. It's given to them. It's not taken. By the time when Yahweh gives it to his saints, the sinners will already have killed the sinners. Then Yahweh turns it over to his saints. There's no wars that we do here. This is totally mistranslated. And will possess the kingdom forever. That we will do. Yes, forever and ever. And I would know the truth about the fourth beast, which was every commentator that I've ever read shows, tells, this is the Vatican. No one else fulfills this. I'll read you that the next time I speak, Yahweh willing. And the 10 horns that you saw on the heads of the, his head, and of the other horn, which came up before the, before whom three fell. I've been through that and got it explained in detail in the Mark of the Book, Mark of the Beast book. You need to get it and read it. It's in detail. You can't help but understand it. The horn that the eyes and a mouth that spoke very great things, but they were against Yahweh and the saints of Yahweh. The saints are the ones that's going to be given the kingdom. That is shown in as early as Genesis 49, verses 10 and 11, called the donkeys that was covered very well this morning. And I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. These are the crusades that the commentaries speak of, the inquisitions, the mass murders that took place, has taken place down through history, including that one in Germany and the ones in the United States, but they're going to continue. Notice this now. Verse 22, he tells you, until this Yada, he's also spoken in Genesis 49:10. He's going to hold the scepter at the Vatican for all these years up until the sinners destroy the sinners. That's what Daniel showed. Sinners going to be destroying sinners. Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of Yahweh. The judgment was given to the saints of Yahweh. That's where we take over the scepter that Yada has made evil all these days. Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment is given to the saints of Yahweh. And the time came, the time. Keep this in mind when you see that word time, because many, many times in the prophecies it's referring to Daniel's prophecy, before Daniel wrote it and after he wrote it. Came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Well, we're in that time period. We're in that time period right now. What Yahweh is saying for you to do, what Yahshua is saying for you to do, is start making haste now. Making haste. Get earnest about this thing. Start preparing to get to the mountain. The mountain, of course, Micaiah 4, 1 through 3. It's a promotion of his kingdom, his house, the great kingdom he is building that he is actually calling people to right now. Right now, now is the time of calling. We don't have time to waste. We don't have time to play. We need to get our priorities straightened out. We need to get our head in the books and start weaning ourselves off of the ways of the world. Yes, that's part of the weaning. The weaning, that's what it meant. That's what it meant when Hannah kept Samuel until he was weaned. Weaned off of the ways of the world, taught against the ways of the world. This is what she is teaching him. If you bring forth fornication, or you yield to fornication, Samuel, this is what it will bring you right here. That's what we need to be teaching, but that's what we need to be living too. Weaning ourselves off of evil, preparing, establishing ourselves before the kingdom of Yahweh, before the heavens and the earth, establishing ourselves as ones who will rule as Yahweh rules. Yahweh bless you. And I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you.